Hello and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. Coming to you from a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, I'll be your host, Dave Trumbore. And joining me as always, my co-host, you hear him giggling, that's Darth Paul Ellis.
Yes.
How's it going, Darth?
David, I'm doing well. How about yourself, buddy?
I'm doing real good that you're not putting that force choke on me anymore.
Oh, no.
Do you want me to? Autoerotic force choke.
I want to get very close to the mic and just start doing like a lot of like...
Just sounds like you're sniffing.
So. Yeah, I know. It just sounds like seasonal allergies right now.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's why
you wear that mask. You're a rebreather.
Zyrtec, you're the best.
You're the best. Oh, and hey, guess what? We have a very special guest with us tonight. The one, Ooh. The only. It's the leader of the Max Rebo Band. It's Max Rebo himself.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm good. Good. It's my Emperor.
You may or may
if
not
we're
going to
do Vader, I'm doing Emperor.
You're gonna do any character you want in here,
yeah.
Rebo. This is this
or
is your show.
Yeah, or Max Rebo. I don't know what he sounds like. He's got kind of an elephant really trunk. I don't really know.
Mm. Yeah, he does all his expressions through the keyboard, really.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Artistic expressions.
Just very sensual musician.
Yeah, very gets way into it, I think.
Just gets really just oof.
Literally surrounds hips. Himself with those piano keys.
Yeah. Hips ablazing.
Yeah.
Oh boy. As you may or may not know, here on Earth, Mr. Rebo actually goes by the name of Max Nicholson and moonlights as a writer for both IGN and MTV News when he's not playing at the cantina.
Yes.
So we'd like to welcome Max to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. Yes, thank you very much. I'm excited.
Yeah, to talk what we're going to do tonight?
Yeah.
I don't, so you're stepping ahead of me.
No, I don't know if people... There's a wide variety of Star Wars cartoons. I think that they have gathered that from the intro, but there's one in particular that we're discussing tonight, which was recommended by Max.
So we have him to thank or hate. Let's not play it so fast and loose with the word recommend. It's more like I suggested that we watch this thing. Not necessarily saying it's good, but...
The word Star Wars droids were bandied about.
Yes, it's real. It's a real thing that you guys indeed watch.
And to prove that it's real, Sean's actually going to take us through the history of this show right now.
Absolutely. Star Wars Droids, the adventure of R2-D2 and C-3PO, also known as Star Wars Animated Adventures, Droids, is an animated television series from, now I'm going to definitely get this wrong,
you got
Nelvana?
It's not Nirvana, so you got it. Well done.
Nelvana.
Nelvana's the one with
Lucas
that bear.
Films,
remember with the bear symbol?
Is that what it is? Nelvana?
I think it's the
is that
bear
the bear?
And the star. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Nelvana and Lucasfilms that featured the exploits of R2-D2 and C-3PO, the droids who appeared in all 6 live-action Star Wars films. Droids ran for 1 season, shocker.
Yeah.
And 13 episodes, and it ran from September of 1985 to June of 1986.
Yeah, so real quick, did you guys ever watch this? I don't know if it was in syndication or if this was something they pulled right off the airwaves in 86.
So this was something that I had, like, you know how there are those cartoons from the 80s that you had, like, the one VHS that had, like,
yes.
2 episodes on it? I had one
yes,
of those for this
of course.
Show. And the episode that we watched, actually, is from this VHS that I used to own. So
That's
I just
awesome.
Kind of wanted to take a trip down old memory lane.
Not
necessarily good
any,
memories, but...
No, they're still memories, though. They're still in there.
I do recall, though, watching these.
Do you remember watching the video? Did they have any, like, commercials? Because I always had commercials for toys on the stuff that we've watched before, like Dino Riders or old Transformers.
Yeah, like, in the VHS, they, well, like, because at the same time, or maybe, like, slightly before or after, they also had a show called Ewoks, which was, like, a very similar
right.
show, which was, like, a sister show. So they would, like, plug that at the start, and they'd be like, hey, you like this? Should definitely check out this other one that's about the same quality.
If you love Ewoks and Return of the Jedi,
yeah.
boy, are you gonna like this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, if you liked Caravan of Courage, boy, have we got a show for you.
Oh, God, I love that.
Caravan of Courage is actually, that's a movie. That's a Star
yeah,
Wars
no,
movie.
Yeah, no, Caravan of Courage was fantastic.
Yeah.
There was
I don't know
second,
that one,
There
guys.
Was a
that's
second one, wasn't
there? There was, and I think that one was, like, not as coolly titled. It was, like, just like the Ewok adventure or something like that.
Right.
I don't think it had like a fancy of the or like that.
Caravan of Courage. I'll have to go back and look for that one because I do not even recall that.
You,
I have no clue what
yeah,
that is.
You may have a hard time. I think they actually came out on DVD, but not I don't think it was ever like
posted online. I know this one, this series came out on DVD in 2004. That's when they had the name change to try to fit it on the packaging because the original one was like 50 words long.
Yeah.
I
think to this day they don't have like the entire collection because I think even that DVD they released is like a compilation of episodes or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're hard to find. Volume. Yeah. I think Lucasfilm wants us to forget about them.
Well, we're waiting for Lucas to release his special edition of Star Wars Droids.
Yes. Exactly.
That's how it works. Yeah.
He's got to make some changes.
He's going to make some changes, guys.
Yeah.
What changes would you want in this show?
Well, we'll probably talk about it as we.
Because I mean, I'm willing to throw out a couple changes that I'd like right now, which would just be subtitles.
Really, you want subtitles?
Yes, there were some.
All these ridiculous names in here.
No, yeah, that's what my problem was. But there were moments where I began to create names for people because of how either gargled the voice actor was.
Yeah, yeah,
that's true.
Or I had to plug in an additional speaker into my computer in order to hear it very loud. And I replayed one of the episodes multiple times, and I still didn't understand what some of the names were.
It's like, how am I supposed to look this up on Wikipedia?
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know what they're saying.
Yeah,
I had to look up, like, man, I mean, maybe it's all these episodes, but this one in particular, like, everybody's got a crazy name. Mm-hmm. Some people have multiple names.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, some of them, they have, like, pseudonyms and stuff. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's like, what do we do? And then they're making up names for the different stuff, like the ore that's in that. Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah,
but I like phonetically spelled stuff out and then had to do searches for
me
it.
Too.
And I got like some random like site in Thailand, and then I got some like other random stuff.
Oh, really? Random site in Thailand.
Yeah. Yikes. Well, I spent a lot of time there, so let's just leave it at that.
Spent a lot
of time in those Thai mines.
So if you, Dave, had to sum up this series, can you hit me with it
in like 3 to 4 sentences?
Can you hit me, baby, one more time with it?
No, don't bring that into...
Can you Britney Spears,
can we bring that, you guys should bring that into every episode, I think.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Thank
with
you
that.
Max,
yeah,
thank you.
I think that should be a thing.
Max is so supportive on this show, we're not used to it. So would you like a series synopsis, Sean?
I'd love one.
All right, let's do it. So Droids was set in the 19-year time period between the Rise of the Empire and Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and the events of Episode 4, A New Hope, otherwise known as Star Wars. So the famous droid duo faced off against gangsters, criminals, pirates, Boba Fett, IG-88, and the Galactic Empire, with other threats throughout the series, including the Emperor, who was actually mentioned quite a few times, but never actually showed up. So go figure that the Emperor of... everything is not going to show up to deal with these two little tin cans.
I was hoping for an episode where they would literally be owned by the Emperor for like a couple episodes.
That would have been amazing.
Like just
and
as,
then he just
as
forced
like
lightning
butler
the
droids.
Shit out of him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're out of here. We can't do that. Yeah, we're going to the Rebellion. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. We've had enough of this Empire stuff. Yeah.
that was a really good health plan, but we're done.
No, we're done with those corporate shenanigans. Max just mentioned, during their adventures, the droids always kind of swapped masters. Like, they were always on the lookout for new masters. They never just kind of had their own adventures. They were always in search of somebody to give them a job or give them some sort of purpose in life. So that was a little strange.
That really kind of freaked me out.
Well, I mean, it's kind of what they're programmed for, I suppose. But that sort of sets up, 2 years after Return of the Jedi came out. But it paints a picture of these droids, at least C-3PO, as being one who is programmed to seek out a master and then to perform whatever tasks are necessary for him to please his master.
And C-3PO voiced by Anthony Daniels, by the way. I don't know if we mentioned that or not.
Yes.
But that's,
yeah,
in the that cartoon, was, that's yeah, like, yeah. That's actually pretty rad that they got him back to actually do the voice and stuff. Like,
yeah, it's really cool.
Say what you will about the show, but that's cool, right?
Do you think that Kenny Baker was like, crap, I wish droid had a voice.
He sat in the corner during the recording sessions.
He was just pushing the buttons on the Casio.
Yeah, exactly.
The best part is that during the intro for this, it goes R2-D2 as himself.
He got SAG credit for that one.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah. He's a card-carrying member of the Screen Actors Guild.
I feel like they could have just like hit any keyboard or smashed any like tin can or trash can like in a recording studio and just been like, yeah, it's R2. What do you want?
I actually thought that was pretty good. I thought the sound effects were pretty good for the main characters.
Well, and they did get they got Ben Burtt, who was the sound designer on Star Wars, right? They got him to actually come in and do. I think he actually had like creative input on the show. That's what I think it looked. It said like producer or whatever on that intro sequence.
But that's pretty. It seems like they definitely had a lot of people that were. It wasn't just the story. This wasn't just like a port over from the movies. Right. Like, hey, people love these characters in the movies, so let's just slap some shit together and put a story around them.
Right.
I'm actually surprised that it was only 13 episodes in one season, that they didn't have more money and power and budget behind it. I was kind of surprised by it because I didn't think this was all that bad, to be honest.
Yeah, and especially when you look at stuff like when you hear about George Lucas talking about the Clone Wars, like back those early interviews when that show first started, and he was like, "Yeah, man, fuck it, we're doing like 100 episodes, and you can like air them or not, but we're gonna make them."
Yeah,
it's like exactly. you think I don't know, maybe that's something he like woke up after Droids and was like, "What have I done? Why didn't I do more Droids?" It's like I have to do another show. We're gonna do 100. Fuck it, we don't care.
Yeah, and that was great. I love the fact that he was just like, I just want to get the story out there, and if people like it, awesome. If not, then oh well.
Right, exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But obviously Droid's not quite as lucky.
Yeah, so like we were talking about the sound effects and stuff from R2-D2, Max, like you mentioned, that they actually brought people on that were involved with the production in the movies to actually come in and do this show. So the fact that Lucas was, I mean, I'm assuming he was kind of behind these, he wanted to do these stories. The fact that we had people actually involved in the production gives this show a little bit more, I don't want to call it gravitas by any stretch of the imagination, but it gives a little more credibility, I think, you know?
Right,
it gives
it
something. It wasn't just a straight ripoff, like a lot of other shows that we watch kind of are.
No, and like for the time, too, that animation is actually not just absolutely horrendous, right? Like, the environments or stuff are kind of just like, oh, is this Tatooine? Just like more Tatooine, But the creativity maybe could have used a bump, but because I remember distinctly like older episodes also were like weirdly on desert planets, like they don't really do any other like tropical planets or like ice planets or anything like that. It's mostly just a lot of those types of like weird barren kind of environments.
Yeah, they just had like a surplus of the color sand.
Yeah,
and they're just like guys,
and, like nothing
we're just
else to draw.
All desert planets.
They're like, we have a lot of red and yellow here, guys. We can. Use this.
And then 3PO
got
has
one
like weird,
stick of burnt sienna.
Yeah.
He has weird blue like internal organs. He has like a blue, he's got a blue neck and he's got like a blue midriff.
Right.
Which I thought was a little strange. Yeah. And like, I guess it's to help him stand out. Yeah.
And he had like emotive eyes that could blink and stuff for some reason.
Yeah. Which is a little odd. Like, his design was a little strange. But, and the funny thing is the way that they're framed, like because C-3PO is so much taller than R2, like most of the time R2 is not even on screen. He's just beeping around somewhere else and you hear him, but you can't see him.
And he just kind of pops up somewhere else in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, or they just lower the camera so that all you see is like everybody else's knees and then R2 just kind of rolls in. It's just, it was a strange, whoever actually was like, I don't know, animation supervisor or something on that. I don't know if this was their first go round or what, but it was a little odd to watch at times, but it was fun. I think it was still fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Sean, do you want to get into the theme song here before we get into the actual episode that we watched for tonight's discussion?
Should we get into this theme song?
I know you want to, buddy.
Because I'm going to. Well, of course I want to.
Yeah.
But I think, Dave, I'm going to speak for you and myself in saying that this theme song is pretty forgettable.
Yeah.
The history and the story behind some of it is fascinating, but the theme song itself. It was definitely not something that burrowed its way into my head where walking around the house for the last couple of days, like I'm just randomly singing it. In fact, I actually had to listen to it before we began recording to remind myself what the actual theme song was.
And I already
because
forgot.
I totally forgot.
Blasphemy, you guys. It's blasphemy.
You remember this one? Do you remember this one, Max? When you were a kid?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh well. Okay. So if I'm being honest, I did. But as I rewatched the video, I was like, oh yeah, trouble again, right?
So it came back.
That part gets in your head.
That's it.
Maybe.
Yeah. That was
like,
the only.
Maybe
that was the only part.
Those two words are like. Yeah. That's if I may, that's iconic. I think to Star Wars lore, the trouble.
That's
going to
be the title of your autobiography.
Yeah. In trouble again. Yes.
In trouble again.
A Max Nicholson story.
Well, it was amazing. No, like, so it was.
Yeah, go ahead,
is this
going to
be something where Max, are you going to have like a colon After Trouble Again, the Max Nicholson story, where there's like 40 other words, like the title of this show.
Yeah, and it's like the cover is me standing next to like the two anime, like cardboard cutouts of C-3PO and R2-D2, but like the animated versions.
Perfect.
I love it. Yeah, I'd watch that card. I'd watch that cartoon.
Oh, right.
I'd
on. Read that
hands
book.
Down.
Okay. Okay.
I'd read that.
I'll make it happen. It's got to happen now.
Nice. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
So Trouble Again was performed by Stuart Copeland of, if you're like, Stuart Copeland? Like, of the Police? Yeah. It's 100% the guy from the Police. And it was written by, it was written by Copeland and Derek Holt.
Like, I love that they needed two people to write this.
This,
just like, the one person probably could have worked it out. Copeland, buddy, you probably had this.
Yeah,
you're wrong.
It's like, I've got Trouble. I need something after that. I don't know.
Something. We need like more Trouble.
Almost as if it's a repetitive nature to the Trouble.
Yeah, like it keeps happening over and over. What's the word?
Don't know. Repetition.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Trouble repetition.
Yeah.
There we go.
Trouble repeated times.
But it was like, I don't know, for me it wasn't super memorable. Now it's probably because I didn't watch it as a kid. Like Max mentioned, he had the VHS, so he, you know, you'd probably wore that.
I know,
out,
and you guys are right. It's a terrible theme song, if we're being honest. So all kidding aside, it's just the fucking worst. It's terrible.
I love the idea that Max is just trolling us on this entire thing. He's like, guys, I don't understand why you don't love this. This is my ringtone.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, I fucking hate it.
We're done. It's awful. It's horrible.
And it's straight 1985 too. Like if you hadn't been listening to it or knew like live when it was happening,
this is just
straight out of 1985.
Yeah, exactly. It is a product of the time.
Yes.
The biggest question that I have, Max,
I want to pose this question to you after watching the theme song and having the history with it.
Yes.
Are R2-D2 and C-3PO, are they just magnets for blaster fire?
Well, obviously not, because all the stormtroopers miss. So,
correct.
That's kind of a paradox, I think, you're asking of me here. So I don't know. But yes, they do draw out the blasters for sure.
Definitely.
They get shocked an awful lot, too.
Yeah.
They get zapped
There's
a lot.
There is an enormous amount of firepower in this theme song that seems to be just going directly over the head of both of these droids nonstop, to the point where you're just like, oh no, these droids are gonna, no, they're fine. They're always fine.
They're fine. They're like
Star Wars universe.
It's like those animators had that running loop of those two characters. They're like, we gotta keep using this. It's like we have this like this really stellar running loop of these characters running. We gotta use this like more often. What can we do? Oh, we'll fire more blasters at them. It'll be...
Yeah.
Do you think it was almost like they had like an overlaying cell that was the animation of the blaster, and they were like, look, guys, we've got cell animation. It's coming from the bottom right to the top left. Let's just put it on everything.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know,
it looks, you guys, this looks really good. It's like, I'm really particularly proud of this blaster shot. We got to use this like all the time.
That was probably a Lucas mandate. Getting... That had to be straight from Lucas. Okay. This is a great blaster shot. Just use it again and again.
I love the fact that we are picking apart the blasters in the theme song and not the fact that it was written, performed by a guy in the fucking Police.
Maybe he was a fan of the movies.
One
man.
Of like the more notable and influential bands during that time. And he was like, you know what? I gotta take
drugs.
Five.
Or he like took a cue from the old Bon Jovi Christmas album. You know, that's a deep cut for you Star Wars fans out there, but... If you guys remember that, it was like the Bon Jovi like special featured track.
Man, yes. Unless it played on like the holiday special, I got.
Oh, really? It's what is it? Christmas in the Stars. Look it up.
Yeah,
Christmas in
it's
the
so
Stars.
Amazing.
It's awesome.
You've never
we'll
heard
see if
of
we can
this?
Get that to be our
it
outro.
All, it also
if we
has
get the rights to it.
Yeah, it also has Anthony Daniels like just kind of talking throughout the songs for some reason. They're like, we have Anthony Daniels here still. It's like let's use him. Let's put him in here.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's awesome. You should listen to it. There's literally a song called like, what do you get a Wookiee for Christmas? Because you can't get him a comb.
Oh no!
Because he already has one. That's actually a song in that soundtrack, I think.
Guys, the '80s were the best.
Yeah.
'90s are pretty good.
I'm gonna agree.
'90s are decent.
I'm gonna agree.
'90s are decent. '90s were fine. Yeah. But the '80s,
That explains 80s, a lot about this show, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it explains quite a bit. Sean, anything else on that theme song? I think that Max, like, man, reaching way back, pulling out.
I'm telling you, man, deep cuts all night. Let's go.
That's crazy.
That is good. Jesus.
So let's get into this episode then. I want to know what Max knows about the Lost Prince.
Yeah, let's deep cut into this. Let's go. Yeah.
Just to give you guys a bit of a rundown for what the Lost Prince was actually about. So we've got R2 and 3PO. They basically have lost their jobs at a diner where they are terrible, terrible waiters. And they end up as part of a droid auction. So they're up on the auction block pretty quickly. Nobody seems to have a problem
skipped
with that.
We have skipped over a lot of stuff.
a lot of juicy tidbits.
This is just the brief, 10,000 foot view. This is just the overview.
The old log line.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I want to say, ultimately, Dave, it felt like there were about 4 concurrent plot lines that were going at the same time
it's
in
all
this
pretty close.
Episode.
And that's the thing. It was actually somewhat involved. Like, you had to pay attention to what was going on to figure it out for the most part.
Right. And they introduce characters that, like, won't be, like, returning until, like, later episodes and stuff.
We need to talk about Jessica
Exactly.
Meade.
Exactly. Yeah, Jessica
was.
Meade,
like,
man, is fucking awesome.
Oh, is she? Okay, so that's cool. So, you remember more.
I remember, in the next episode.
Okay,
really?
So it's just in this series. She's not, like, I couldn't find anything on her outside of this series, though.
Right, no, I don't think she's, like, in the comics or anything like that.
Oh, okay,
I think she's
so it is strictly just for this series.
She is a droids alum.
That's crazy. So, okay, yeah. Again, another deep cut. We'll definitely talk about her in a second, even though we don't know too much. Max knows more. But.
Right.
Yeah, so basically, these guys lose their job. They end up on an auction block, and they get sold to the son of a mine owner. And then another sort of droid gets sold with them, and that leads them into a whole mess of trouble. And that's where we will start our discussion. So
that is like thousand foot view looking down at this point.
And that's the show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. So I love, Max, did you ever watch what happened in the previous episode? I didn't get a chance to see what happened before this to cause them to be looking for a job in a diner on a sand planet.
So like, I don't remember. I just kind of read the brief like synopsis of previous episodes. And I think they like had just come off a stint with like these three other like doofuses who like pick up the droids and like, but then I think they get separated and like crash land on this planet that they're currently on. And
it seems like that happens pretty much every episode. Like they just kind of move from one master to the next.
Yeah, seemingly. Like I think it is like they have about 3 or 4 episode arcs where basically they have a new master and they kind of get into shenanigans with like a different, like, what's like your story? What are you doing? Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of like, I think that's just sort of the general overview. Like I assume if the show had gone on, like if maybe there was like a favorite master or something, they would have maybe kept one around or something, but.
Well, I definitely want to talk about this guy because he has definite similarities to Luke. But before we get into that, let's start back at the diner. Yeah. What do you have, Sean?
Well, do you think that there was there ever an episode where they just were thinking to themselves, like, we should just file for unemployment? We should just file for unemployment and sit back and see if we can coast this one out, guys.
I don't know that the
droid unemployment exists. It doesn't. You're telling me in this social entire universe where the police will lead you into an episode that they don't have droid fucking unemployment.
I wish there was a droid planet where all the like rebellious droids just kind of ended up, or just like a giant scrap.
Just kind of.
As far as I know, there might be.
There's a scrap planet. I think that's a level in Shadow of the Empire, actually.
Is that the one where it's like the giant trash compactor where you have to fight
Boba
Fett? Or yeah, maybe it was IG. It was one of those bounty hunters. Yeah. I think there is.
I saw and they name dropped him in this episode and I was like, oh, are we going to see IG-88?
Yeah.
No. I was disappointed.
I think that's next episode stuff. He is in the show though. I do remember seeing IG-88. I will say though, like, did any of you guys, so at the very beginning when they are at that, that diner,
yeah,
that like diner owner looks almost exactly like Dexter Jetser, right? From like episode 2, the forearmed orange alien. I was like,
many of these characters with like random or different names that I didn't pick up in the movies, but they had a lot of people that looked very, very similar.
Yeah, like,
and I'm assuming that was planned. Yeah,
yeah, like I feel like there was some definite like prequel setup going on with that diner owner there.
Yeah.
So for everybody else who has not seen the show, it's like this giant kind of, it's exactly what you would expect from a greasy spoon chef wearing sort
Star
of like
Wars
the paper
universe,
hat,
yeah.
except just copy-pasted in the Star Wars universe.
Totally,
so he's got four arms and they're all beefy and muscular. and he's got slightly gravelly voice. Now, David mentioned that R2-D2 and C-3PO were doing a pretty shit job with customer service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As
they did look cute in their little aprons, though.
It was adorable.
Yeah, I like the apron. And who knew C-3PO could cook? Seems to be kind of a chef, right?
Apparently, yeah.
Who knew?
So I was curious. At one point, the cook leans down to them and he goes, "I'm going to melt ya." And I could not figure out what he said. I rewinded about a dozen times and I wrote down what I thought he said, but I think he said, it was like, "I'm going to melt you down." And then I wrote, "and testy tubes." Like, it never made sense to me what he actually was saying.
I'm going to go with testy tubes.
Yeah.
This was a reoccurring theme, if we haven't said this before in this episode, was that there were moments of dialogue, of voiceover work, either in naming other characters or just in somebody adding like a tag at the end of a sentence that just got garbled for me. And so there were those moments where somebody would say something and then I'd have to pause it and it would just kind of take me out of the experience for a second.
There was that Chewbacca knockoff character. That I was like, "Is your name Yorba? Is it Yorbo? Yorbo?" Yeah. Like I feel like they said it like three different ways, and I eventually settled on Yorbo, I think.
I took Yorpo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I ended. Y-O-R-P-O.
Exactly.
And I think
that's
on IMDb, it was either Yorpo or Yorpa.
Right, right.
But yeah, everybody had a different way of pronouncing things. And we have names like Jan Tosh, Kleb Zelik,
Kezi Bon. Yeah.
Kezi Bon.
Manjulpa.
Jan Tosh. He was the. Yeah, Manjulpa.
Manjulpa.
was Jan Tosh the white guy?
Yeah, he was the generic white guy with the headband, like the way too deep V-neck. Yeah, that was
he was the guy who looked like Swan from the movie The Warriors.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I just called him Swan. I was like, Swan's doing all right. Swan's
Swan's okay.
Swan Tosh.
Don't give a shit.
Uncle Gundy.
He was the only name that when they said it, I was like, got it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Gundy.
Somebody.
Gundy.
Finally.
Yeah. Got it. Yes.
Thank you, Diction.
I just called him Yosemite Sam.
By the way, fun
fact. 100% what he was.
Fun fact, that dude got an action figure made of him. Uncle Gundy.
Shut up.
He was in that one episode for like, what, 5 minutes total?
Yeah.
Maybe.
And he hopped
if we're being generous. And that dude has a fucking action figure made after him.
I really hope it came with a leg that he couldn't straighten so that he was just hopping on one leg the entire time.
It came with a boot that just came on and off of his foot.
And like a crusher, like a collapsible hat accessory.
Yeah, exactly. It came with like an old-timey panhandler.
Yeah.
Like realistic, you could run it underwater and sort out the gold.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jesus. So that's just to prime listeners out there on some of these names. We're going to be throwing around a lot of weird names. So just get ready.
Yeah.
Hold on to your butt.
And I'm just going to refer to everybody by what I thought they were. So
that's fine.
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry in advance.
Yep. No apologies necessary.
It's kind of true to Star Wars form, I think, right?
Yes.
Like definitely. Characters having just the most random ass names that you're like, oh, I'm never going to be able to like pronounce this. Your name has three apostrophes in it. It's too much.
Well, so and then he was like,
we should mention that the.
Yeah.
Oh,
no,
go on, Dave.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that like the. This restaurant that they're working in,
Dunix Cafe,
like this,
by the way. Dunix Cafe.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Thank you. And so it has like this boss guy who like owns a piece of everything in the town.
He's like the local gangster.
Yeah.
And he looks like a cross between Mad Max Fury Roads and Mort Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Cyclops from the X-Men had a child. And that was.
He
kind of
looks
like.
He looks like Krang's big robot body, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there
exactly.
You go.
It's like Krang's robot body. Yeah.
So like Krang's body. What was his name? Was it Kleb?
His name is Kleb Zelik.
Yes.
Kleb.
I did not get Kleb until the very end of the episode.
That was the other thing is like once they said their name once, it was like they never said their name again.
No.
And I was like, oh wait, I didn't catch that. Except for like Yorpa, because they were pronounced it like fucking five
constantly.
Different ways, yeah.
They said his name so many times, but they said it differently.
Yeah, but I was like, what's that fat guy's name with the visor again? Right.
And then he would just yell and throw R2-D2 across the room.
Yeah. I'm just going to call him Krang's body.
Yeah, who had like inexplicable like sonic like explosion power, or like mind fuck powers. I don't know.
Well,
even
that was Kleb, yeah. Right? Didn't Kleb have like crazy Sonic?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, Kleb had Sonic the, Mouth. Yorpa had Wookiee Strength.
Like that, that kind of like Aquaman, like thing that like.
Yeah,
with.
I was waiting for little like O's to come out of his right. mouth, so I knew yeah. where the fuck I was coming from. Because yeah. at first I was like, is this like a security thing? Is it an R2-D2 thing?
Yeah.
No, it was just Kleb. It was just Krang.
Just good old Kleb, just doing his thing.
This Sonic blast. And so, yeah, he's like the local gangster. He's kind of got his fingers in all the different pies here. And he is looking for a particular character who we will eventually be introduced to. But there's basically a bounty on this character. And he is trying to collect it. He has also got, like Sean said, he's got like three other things in mind that he wants. He not only wants some
he's
money.
Got a lot, he's got a lot of plates up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, spinning quite a bit here. Man. So, I don't think it was really much of a... I don't know, when R2-D2 and C-3PO lose their jobs, it was just kind of a quick thing to get them out the door and to get them onto this auction block.
Right.
Did you guys think that was a little strange at all, how quickly that happened? I thought that was a little odd.
Yeah, that they
were
that
just
we
like, well, we can't work at this diner, yeah. might as well get auctioned off.
It's like you feel like you're setting yourself up for like, oh, a whole episode of them like working at this wacky diner. And yeah. then it's just like, oh, no. It's like that scene was literally there just to introduce Kleb, I feel. Right. It's like, okay, we're meeting this guy. And that's it. And now we can fire the droids.
Exactly.
It's like
the thing that struck me as so weird was just the dependency, because they C-3PO has a line that I wrote down because it was so troubling to me. Now I get it. They're robots and they're programmed to serve, and they're being auctioned off on like this like slaver's block.
Yeah.
And it's weird. But C-3PO has this line where he just goes, "We can't function without a master." And I almost wanted to just pause at that point. And there was like a robot tear that kind of came down.
Just an oil tear?
I wanted to... I there was like a moment where I was like, please tell me that the follow-up to this series, to Star Wars Droids, The Adventures of R2-D2 and C-3PO, was titled Star Wars Strong and Independent Droids on Their Own Accord because they're fantastic and we love them. Like, I wanted them to have like a shred of dignity. I wanted them to have like a shred of self-respect, because they're such staples of the Star Wars universe, and for them to just feel insignificant and worthless through and through, just it felt weird. It just
look, and they're not only staples of the Star Wars universe, these are like the most consistent characters you'll find, and I'm assuming they will be throughout the next
right.
three movies
yeah.
or six that come
yeah.
out. So
to be fair,
interesting that
to be fair
cartoon,
too, it's like those
yeah.
characters are kind of masochists in the movie anyway. Like they kind of rag on themselves
yeah,
all the time. Like that, even in the show, they like recycled so many of like C-3PO's classic lines, like we're doomed, and it's
yeah.
just like
and
it's
he's
like
always
just at
getting
all
like,
times.
Like taken apart and like patched back together wrong. And
yeah,
he's got his parts hanging out and his limbs getting hacked yeah. off.
That leg bit, by the way, that was a yeah. winner. That leg bit was a winner. I love that bit.
Oh, it's a gift that just keeps on giving.
It really did. For the
if you are thinking, is there going to be a classic caper where C-3PO takes off his leg for like a fake kick and it saves the day? Well, you're in for
you're,
it.
Yeah.
So.
You're in the right. You're in the ballpark.
So we're up on the auction block. Everybody's feeling sad about
yes.
it. Right. But we're up on the auction block. And out there in the audience there, waiting to auction people, is one really terrible-looking guy who I did not catch his name, but he obviously is pretty anti-droid because he just sees
yeah,
him as...
Yeah, Swan from the... Oh.
Mr. One Nostril.
Mr. One Nostril.
Yeah, that's
Uninostril.
It. One Nostril.
Yeah. And he basically, like, so he goes up and he goes to buy these droids. So he goes to buy C-3PO, R2-D2 for, like, pennies on the dollar or whatever, the Keshel.
Keshels, yes, exactly.
At this point, the Keshel. Pennies on the Keshel, and he goes to buy these two droids, and they throw like this kind of dilapidated, weird ass looking, broken down droid in too. And they were like, "This is the real worker," and then you've got these two other novelty guys here,
right.
So you can buy them. So Mr. One Nostril buys them. He basically just jerks the android looking fella out of the way. Like, you just bought this thing, and he's obviously falling apart, and you're just gonna basically like try to break him in the front of everybody. So this other kid, what'd you say? It was Juan from.
Swan from Warriors.
Yeah. So he comes up and he kind of saves the day, even though he's very much like a Luke Skywalker character at this point.
Yeah.
He's kind of
just
a
heart of gold.
Yeah, heart of gold, but a blue collar kid, doesn't have a lot of money.
Works in the old mines, works the mine
right.
gambit. Yeah.
Yep. just spent his last Keshels on a mining droid.
I thought that it was Luke Skywalker. I was
it pretty much is.
What the fuck?
To the point with like he's got an uncle that he lives with.
Right.
You never hear any mention of his parents as far as I know.
Yeah.
He's basically just like a young kid on a desert planet who buys these droids and he actually saves them. So he trades his brand new mining droid that he spent his last Keshel on, his uncle's last Keshel, trades him to Mr. One Nostril for these three dilapidated, broken down droids. Because he's got a heart of gold, and that's the nice thing to do. So that's what he does, and he takes him home. And that's when we meet Uncle Yosemite Sam.
Right. At the old... Yeah, exactly.
Suffering satellites.
At the old moisture evaporator.
Yeah, right?
So instead of a moisture farm, like Owen and Beru have, this guy's basically got rights to a mine.
Did they ever clarify what they're mining and what they're...
No, because he didn't even know that he had this super volatile but super... worthwhile or
well, he mentions at the end
stuff.
That they found like a
he found it after the cave-in though,
right?
Yeah,
so he like thanks this guy who we'll get to. He thanks him for like, oh hey, thanks for caving in my mine and I found a Keshel deposit.
That's right.
Like, oh, all right, thanks for wrapping that up.
How very convenient.
Yes, how very convenient.
Of all the half-baked and schemed ideas, Uncle Gundy it was my favorite character in this episode.
He is a treasure.
He's a Star Wars treasure,
I think.
he's a treasure.
I'm pulling for him in The Force Awakens. I feel like he deserves a cameo.
Oh my god! If he shows up, if Uncle Gundy shows up in The Force Awakens, I will just stand and applaud in the middle of that movie.
Yeah, totally.
No one else will know what was going on.
It's gonna be me standing up alone in the theater, going, "You gotta be fucking kidding me!"
And just hop out.
Yeah, it's like that. It's that guy that you think is Luke Skywalker in that trailer is actually just Uncle Gundy, like with R2-D2.
Yeah, just Uncle Gundy. Yeah.
Oh my!
With a robot
just
hand,
passing him down.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So we're not even at like the main crux of the story yet. This is the craziest thing. Yes. There's so many things going on. So you've got R2 and 3PO who are now in the ownership of Uncle Gundy and his nephew.
Jan.
Or Swan or Juan. Jan. Whatever his name is.
Jan Tosh, I'll have you know.
Jan Tosh.
Daniel Tosh.
Yeah, exactly. Dan Tosh and
the rest of the guys. So the big reveal happens now where you find out that this beat down, it was a cyborg, right?
Well, so you've got, this kind of cyborg crow looking weird scarecrow kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
And
so,
R2 does some kind of scan and he's like, oh, hey, by the way, this guy's not a droid. It's like a full organism. Like it's a biological organism.
Right.
So, you got duped. Sorry, Uncle Gundy. You just flushed all your Keshels down the moisture farm.
We should mention on the way out of the slave auction.
Yeah.
They, what was it?
One nostril
and Immort Joe.
Yeah.
Realize.
Oh, that's
Krang's,
right. I forgot that.
Krang's body.
The
realize
big
that the realize. That there might be a little bit, that's the first glimpse where you have like,
yes.
There might be a little bit more to this third droid than meets the eye.
Yeah, remember
so
that bounty that
there's a little bit of a chase scene and there's this, you realize that Krang's body is like, that guy is the person that I need to get for these, like, was it like
40,000
Keshels.
Yeah. I keep wanting to say shekels.
Which, by the way, that guy, shekels. That Kleb guy has some serious insight if he's able to pin that android and be like, that's the guy we're looking for.
That's the one.
Right.
Yeah,
I've
seen how he
it's
gets
like that guy has that guy
the
has
desert.
The exact description minus everything about him.
Yeah. Exactly. I know the way he shambles.
Yeah, exactly.
When he's being led away into slavery.
Yeah,
look, he loves to dress up like droids.
My employer mentioned that guy
might
be like going around as an android.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's the one. I do like their little chase scene though, because they drive kind of a cool little unicycle thing away. That
which looks a lot like the thing Grievous drives in Revenge
exactly
of the Sith,
like
right?
Exactly.
One of those weird prequel nods, I feel.
Yeah, I think Lucas was just kind of like, I want like a speeder, like a car, but just like inside a giant wheel.
Yeah.
And like, all right, we got it. Here it is.
They're like, check out droids, dude. They have that.
Yeah, check out droids. We
dude, we did
we
that
did
already.
First.
You're in luck.
Guys, I did that back in 85.
Yeah, you guys are
why
in luck.
Are we... What are we doing workshopping this shit?
Yeah.
I've already created this.
We've got the designs right here. They're in the archives. They're in the Lucasfilm archives as we speak.
Okay, so lo and behold, this creepy scarecrow droid thing is actually a bounty that Kleb is after. And he is revealed more or less when he saves Uncle Gundy from a cave-in. Now, this guy doesn't speak yet, so we don't know what his name is. So John and Gundy and 3PO and R2-D2 decide to give him a name. Do you guys remember his name?
Real quick. Swan, when he, you mentioned the point where he's not talking. So Swan suddenly asks, he goes, he's not talking. What should we call him? Yeah. And do you remember what C-3PO's line is that he has for him at that
point? I'd call him hungry.
Oh my God.
The best line in the episode, I think.
I almost threw myself across the room.
I'd call him hungry. Meanwhile, he's just like cramming down a bowl of chowder.
Oh my God, he is like nomming on whatever the fuck that is. Yeah. That soup.
I mean, 3PO wasn't lying.
Chowder,
was,
yeah. You know, no, yeah, he's very hungry.
Green chowder.
Yeah.
So, at this point, Gundy gives him a name, right?
Yes.
Right.
After he's saved in the cave-in, which is
and
very
so
fortuitous.
I wanted to ask about the cave-in.
Yeah.
So you hear all of a sudden, like, Swan and C-3PO are outside. And all of a sudden, there's kind of like a commotion in where they are mining. And Swan is like, oh shit, cave in. So they all run inside. And
that's what you do when there's a cave in.
Yeah, right. You go directly into the chaos. Yes.
Yeah.
Max, I don't know about you, but Dave and I are both from Pennsylvania where there are mines. And we're both like, you just stay the hell away. Yeah. Like, you go to a bar. That's it.
No.
Everybody gets the day off.
No, I'm from Oklahoma. So tornadoes were our thing, was the old tornado alley, which gotcha. There were no tornadoes in this episode, unfortunately. Otherwise,
so
I could offer my expertise.
If you got the tornado, the air siren, like, you wouldn't run into it, is what
no,
you're
basically, yeah, it's same principle. Okay, cool. Same principle. You
make sure we're on the same.
Yeah,
page.
Don't go into the chaos.
Okay, got it.
And so in this instance, they run directly into the chaos.
Right.
And here's the thing that blows my mind is that Swan, if you notice, he pulls out another support
right
from the side of the wall.
Exactly.
And runs over.
Oh,
like,
here's the problem.
I'm not a cave expert here. But I know integrity of a building, and you, sir, you're removing a course, like, you're removing a necessity from
that's a load bearing
from the entrance, no less. Like, like your way out. It's like, oh, here's this support beam that's actually holding this whole thing afloat. Let's remove that. And
I actually slapped my desk at that moment and said, they're all dead.
Yeah, in a surprising twist, that's where the episode ends. They all die.
Luckily, C-3PO got away because he's a coward and he waits outside like a smart, like any smart individual.
Like a smart protocol droid. Ship.
Exactly.
Yeah. So at this point, the nameless hero steps in and he kind of saves the day because apparently he's got some like brute strength that he can hold up a collapsing mine.
Exactly.
So he holds up the beam and he rescues these guys. So at this point, he gets a name. And the name, you guys remember it?
Keziban. Kezaban.
Kezaban. Yeah, it's like
which means something. Like Uncle Gundy said it, and it means something in another language.
Right. It's like it's an old, I'm going to say Pashtun.
I'm sure there's
an old Pashtun word for hero or something.
I'm sure there's a hyphen somewhere in that name.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a.
Yeah.
Smack of them.
As is Star Wars tradition.
Yeah. So basically, so now he's the hero. He gets a name that more or less means like hero or lifesaver or like. Life bringer or whatever.
Sure.
And then he's immediately captured again by the bad guys. So, you know, they're holding him up as his hero and then he's gone.
Yeah.
So our guys have to go off and find him, and they do this by starting a bar fight, basically, at the diner.
Which is
kind of my favorite.
Which, by the way, Max Rebo Band is there. They're seemingly on tour. They're off Tatooine.
Yeah,
and
they are singer.
They're playing there at whatever this planet is and
exactly
having a good old time doing their thing.
Yeah,
before
you always need a band for a bar fight.
Though. Always, yeah.
It's just kind of standard.
There's only two bands in the entire Star Wars universe, and that is the Max Rebo band, and that is the Biff band.
The
Cantina band, exactly.
Yeah.
They're the only two guys in the whole thing.
That's it, man. They got it locked down.
Exactly.
So they got to play at Dunick's Cafe or whatever the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
Max, that moment where suddenly the Rebo band like shows up, that was worth watching this episode alone, seeing that, because I got so excited and happy at, like, I can't describe to you the joy. I was like, that's the Max Rebo band.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's your totem. You're like, oh yeah, this is the Star Wars universe. I almost forgot.
Yeah, his touchstone to bring him back to the universe.
Exactly.
Oh, so good.
It was.
Yeah, so at this point, they start a bar fight, and I love the way that they do it. R2-D2 starts off by shooting just a random patron of the diner who's just sitting there enjoying his green chowder. Right. He just whacks him with his fire extinguisher, just blasts this guy right in the side.
Old Two Nostril.
And that starts. Yeah, totally.
Mr. Two Nostril.
I like that we described everybody by the number of nostrils.
Oh, we had one.
It's a common occurrence.
They were very far apart, I would note.
Wide, Mr. Wide Nostrils.
Yeah, Mr. Wide. Yeah, Wide Nostrils. That's better.
So somebody calls him Wide Nostril. He gets in a fight. And then it's basically like a brawl breaks out.
Right.
And at this point, we're introduced to a random woman who saves these idiots from being torn apart by Yorba. And this is Jessica Mead. And she basically just like saves her life.
Yeah.
And he's like, thanks. He's like, I'm Jessica Mead. Okay, see you later. And then that's it. That's
and
the only
like,
interaction.
It's like Jan's like, thanks again. Bye.
Yeah. Thanks again. Bye.
Yeah.
See you in
I
the
actually
next
had
episode.
To back this episode up to watch that because I missed it the first time. It happens in a blink.
Yeah.
Well, I love that
she's
has
like,
a joy
she's
buzzer.
Like
she has like an old practical joke buzzer on her hand, but that's like souped up and can knock people out.
She's like a stunner. Never leave home without it. It's like, okay. Nope.
Yeah.
I won't.
Okay, thanks, stranger.
Yeah, I will not.
No, I will not from now on. And then she just like sits down and has a drink while these other idiots go running off.
Yeah.
So that's it. So Max, real quick, we're getting a little short. So you said that she does show up in the next episode, though. Do you remember anything about her from that?
Sorry, what?
Jessica Mead shows up in the next episode of the series. Do you remember?
Yeah, yeah. Like I think she has her own ship, and I remember it's like her, like Jan Tosh, and like the droids, and I think like I think Mon Jilba or whatever Keziban is there, and like they like ward off. We it's like that might be for another episode, but there's like the IG-88 shows up and that's
kind of
the whole
awesome. So there you go, listeners.
So she does come back. It wasn't just like some random encounter that's never followed up on again.
Yeah, that would make zero sense. I assumed she would show up again in the rest of the series, but I just didn't know if it was one of those random things or not. So I'm glad to know that she did. But, now we're kind of getting to a point where there's actually two things that are going on. So we've got Kleb and his kind of hooligans. They now reveal another part of their plan, and it's basically they find out that there is something called Nurgon 14 in this mine. And Nurgon 14, do you guys know what this is used for in the Star Wars universe? I kind of had to look this up.
It's
a little
bit. Most unstable raw element in the universe.
Yeah, super worthwhile.
They said something.
Max, you know what it's used for?
They said something about Empire proton torpedoes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this is used in the proton torpedoes,
I know my
which
droids.
Plays kind of a big role in Star Wars.
Sort of. Yeah, probably.
Sort of a big role. Yeah, so that's interesting that they have that kind of that lore. That's
right,
there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
And that's probably
the same,
seemingly like that's what the planet's for, is just like that planet has like that mineral, and that's what this whole planet is about.
Yeah, so essentially, since this stuff is so unstable that if it's activated, the entire planet could more or less just go up in a puff of smoke. At the same time, we are learning that this Kez Iban character is actually someone else completely. He's not just like a lost wandering soul. He's actually, his real name is Mon Jilba, which took me a very long time to figure out. His name is Mon Jilba, and he is Prince of Tamuzan. Yeah. Prince of Tamuzan.
Yeah.
We don't know where Tamuzan is.
I'm surprised you pulled out Tamuzan. I actually didn't even remember that at all.
If you,
this little purple guy who originally put the bounty out on him because he was trying to bring him back home safely, he's actually a good guy. He was trying to reconnect with his prince, this royal prince named Mon Jilba, and he hands him back this scepter, like a royal scepter that kind of restores his memory, and we get this short little explanation like, oh, I was a prince, and the royal vizier of the Tamuzan wiped my memory out because he wanted to take my place. Hey, nice to meet you. It's just like a random-ass a random-ass explanation of that, so it was a little strange.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what we get. So now the stage is kind of set for this final kind of rundown, right?
Right. And can we also draw attention to the fact that that scepter is like kind of fucking awesome? Like,
this thing has
property
and half technology. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's fuck lightsabers. Can we get like a bunch of these things that like you spin it around and it has like suddenly like these super magical awesome properties?
Yeah, I like that it seemed like it was still electricity based though. So it seemed like it had some sort of technology basis to it, but they saw it as a magical scepter or something.
Yeah,
I thought that was pretty cool. However, that being said, these aliens, these Tasmanians are pretty damn clumsy. The fact that they just kind of trip each other.
Dave?
Yeah, what do you got?
The note that I wrote down.
Yeah, I knew you would have seen that.
This group was, this is the dopiest group of aliens I've ever seen in my life.
It's like the Keystone Cops of Star Wars aliens. They're like the, yes. the Three Stooges. They're just like slaps. They're from the planet Slapstick.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
they
boy.
Trip over each other. They bump into things, but then they somehow like kind of heroically save the day, even though it's pretty much R2-D2 that of course saves the day.
Yeah, exactly.
They saved the day through blind luck. Let's say what it is.
Luck.
There's no reason that any of them should have survived this instance.
No, they had a high midichlorian count.
Too.
I think the
high midichlorian. Yeah, they actually pretty much like. I wonder if there was ever a Tamuzanian that was a Jedi. I'm curious now. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, I actually don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, they actually don't really
arcane like Jedi like abilities with these guys. Something magical.
Yeah, something similar, some sort of like royal order or something like that. But
yeah,
so basically, long story short here for this one is that Kleb is trying to get a hold of the bounty. He now wants to get hold of this Nergon 14 stuff. And R2 and C-3PO, they warn him like, hey, we've got some like volatile gases building up in this mine. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to trigger everything and you're going to blow the whole planet up. And he's basically like, nah, don't care. Doesn't really matter. So they don't actually prevent that from happening. Everything gets activated, and then they just fly away.
That's so true. It's like they actually don't stop anything. It totally just happens.
They rescue some people. C-3PO's leg gets frozen in a awkward position.
Yeah.
And then they fly away. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. It's like...
And the big... Yeah.
Go ahead.
The big thing at the end is that Gundy finds a Keshel deposit in his mine because of the cave-in. So him and Jan are like super rich now.
Right.
So C-3PO, he comes out all shiny and gold and sparkling, and R2-D2's all cleaned up. And like, hey, we found ourselves some wealthy masters. So isn't everything great? I'm like, didn't that whole fucking like mine just blow up? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that, I don't know
basically.
If they ever come back to that or not.
Yeah, it's like it's
kind of a weird...
No, yeah, I think they go off planet in the next episode, so I think that's that, according to
so
that
that's
show.
That, man. That place is just a powder keg, ready to go.
Yeah, I also...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also want to note, like, how rad it is that guy who was, like, who hired that bounty hunter to, like, save Mon Jovi, like, had the forethought to bring him, like, his princely clothing at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to need this.
Yeah,
he has all the garb necessary to make
exactly.
him look
it's like
extremely regal.
In that final scene, it's like, oh, dude, you were just decked the fuck out in your like in your royal garbs right now. I was not foreseeing that.
No, I love that. That was great. He's got his scepter. He's got his purple skin.
Yeah.
He's got his robes.
Yeah. And he's like, good. Thank you for your help. And he's like suddenly like super royal looking. It's like, oh, all right. Right on.
Yeah, totally. I love
this episode.
John's expression when he was like saying goodbye to him. He was like, "Your Majesty," and he kind of looked like somebody from like Bill and Ted or something. Like, he just had this stoned expression on his face, like, bah.
"Yeah, like I don't know what to call you." And then he's like, "Please, Kezivan." And it's like, "Really? You're gonna like still stick with Kezivan after
you're
like
go with that made up name that we
yeah,
did
okay. well
10 minutes ago? Sure.
Yeah, okay. Okay. All
right, Kezivan." I loved the ending, like the very last moment of this. Do you guys remember the final thing that they kind of like closed out on?
With the C-3PO and Gundy both simultaneously hopping on their feet.
Yes, the sight gag
like,
the
most,
everybody laughing.
Yeah, the most righteous like visual callback of all time.
Oh my god. Meanwhile, half the planet just blew up and these two idiots are hopping around.
Well, they have the most cringeworthy line to close this whole thing out.
Close it out for us, Sean.
Thank you, R2. Much better. And then everybody just laughs.
Everybody laughs.
I breathed a deep sigh of relief when everybody laughed. So yeah. I was like, there's no other way that they could end this.
No,
this must actually be the end of it. It has to be.
It's
ridiculous. There's the way that they ended it, and then there's the way that I wanted them to end it. And I didn't. I never get... how I want these things to end.
Well, since we're ending this,
actually,
how would you
what,
want
can
to
I
end?
Yeah, can I hear your alternate ending for what you wanted from this episode?
Yeah.
It's just the Nergon just blows up the entire planet.
Just ends the series in episode 5.
But
magically it just so happens that C-3PO and R2-D2 are just blown into orbit,
of course,
and picked up by like
it's
some
totally
by Jessica Mead in her ship right outside of orbit.
There you go. She's just like a scavenger in orbit. Yeah.
Yeah.
She just grabs him and she's like, "Guys, next adventure." And they're like, "We love capers."
They're like, "You're our master now."
Yeah,
you know, you can boss us around all you want.
Yeah.
C-3PO is all like, "Curse my metal body." And you're like, "Oh my god."
Here we go again.
Fucking time with him.
So anything else from you guys for this episode?
No, I think we watched enough of the Eeyores of the Star Wars universe.
By the way, before I forget, I did want to, this isn't pertain to this episode, but I thought this was really interesting because before this podcast, I was looking at the IMDb for droids, and I noticed that one of the episodes is actually called The Revenge of Kybo Ren.
Oh, that's interesting.
K-Y-B-O-R-E-N, which I thought was
really
like, I was like, there is no way that that's just pure coincidence, right?
Hold on, I'm going to type this up really fast so I can beat Max to the story.
No!
Oh, yeah.
Take that.
Wow.
But I thought that was like really, there's no way because, so I guess for those of you that don't know, it's like Kylo Ren with an L is like this Sith-like character that's going to be in Star Wars The Force Awakens. And I just thought that was super interesting. I'm like, what are the odds that like a name is so, and it's not even like he's a Sith or anything. I think he's some sort of pirate. But I like read the synopsis and it was like Kybo Ren. And it's like, what? Seriously?
Wait, what?
In droids?
That's crazy. Yeah, we'll have to look into that.
Yeah, episode 8. Wow, this is interesting. Oddly enough, Mon Joppa is still in that episode. He's in
He's a Tamuzanian prince.
He's a recurring player. Yeah, he's definitely in the next episode, I remember. But I think he's like actually at his post, like being king, being kingly, or princely, rather.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So on that note, would you guys actually recommend the rest of the series to our listeners out there and to just yourself? So Max, since you brought this one to our attention, what do you think? Do you recommend this to people?
I would recommend it if you are just a diehard Star Wars fan that's like kind of waiting to pass the time before The Force Awakens. You've already finished The Clone Wars. Watch The Clone Wars first. That show is like
wonderful.
That show is a revelation. So I would watch that first. But if you watch all that stuff, you're watching Rebels, then I'd say give droids a shot just because there's enough weird, just kind of like, it's so deliciously 80s that I think and if you love Star Wars, it's like, this is actually just kind of amazing that this even existed ever.
Definitely. Sean, what about you?
With a very heavy heart.
A heavy heart.
Check this out. Okay. No, I mean, I concur with everything that Max says. I think you need to check this out because it's a piece of the Star Wars universe, and it will always hold Star Wars universe will always hold a special place in my heart. And I think just checking this out is interesting, and you know, it's only 13 episodes. It's not like you're killing a lot of time. And as we've mentioned several times in this, if there is in any way some parallel or some kind of like, you know, tip of the cap to some of the things that we could potentially, you know, come to find out or expect in these upcoming movies, I'll spend the time to check it out. I'll spend the time to do a little bit of research.
Yeah.
And they're all on YouTube for free. So don't pay for this. Look, chances are you're probably listening to us while you're at work and you're trying to kill time before it's 5 o'clock and you can get the hell out of there anyway. When you're done with this, just jump over to YouTube and search Star Wars Droids. Kill an hour. Kill 2 hours. This will be great fun.
Yeah, it'll be good times. So that's going to be 3 for 3 because I'm going to say the same thing. Max made some really good points. Sean did as well. They basically said it all, so you got nothing left from me. Just check this one out. And who knows? You might find some more Easter eggs and goodies that are hidden in there before the new movie comes out in theaters. Now, because that is coming out later on this year, I'm going to ask you guys real quick, do you think that this show is maybe in need of a reboot? Maybe we need to bring Star Wars Droids back to an animated series. Real quick, yay or nay. Max, what do you think? Does this one get another shot?
I would say nay just because they kind of already did that with, there are like those few arcs in Clone Wars that are like, oh, here's the droids again. And it's just kind of, it's like, I feel like you kind of get them in the movies and like, they're even in Star Wars Rebels a couple episodes.
Right.
It's like, I think you're getting plenty of droids without needing like a whole full-on like reboot of this particular time period with them.
Now, how about this though? How about BB-8 and maybe some of the other new droids that are coming out?
Oh my god. Dude, BB-8 is my spirit animal already, I can tell.
We haven't even seen more
I haven't even watched that movie. That little droid gets a show. Like the Adventures on Jakku, I would watch that show.
Okay, so you'd watch The Adventures of BB-8 on Jakku. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean, what about you? Either old or new reboot for these guys? Either old droids or new droids. Old priest and a new priest. What do you think?
Sorry?
Oh, no, no, that one's for Sean.
Oh, okay.
Is he still there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Do you think the droids, either the old droids get a cartoon reboot or the new droids get a new shot at their own animated series? What do you think?
No, I apologize. I was deep in thought on this one. I think the new droids deserve a chance to kind of grow, you know, in their own right. So I would be curious to see what they would do with the new droids. So I think we can close the book on old droids. I'd be curious to see what new droids has to offer.
Good answer.
That's 3 for 3. We got a new generation.
Dave, what are you thinking? Let's kick around in that metal body.
Yeah.
Cursed metal body.
Yeah, so pretty much thinking the same thing. So, yeah, okay. I'd say we give the new guides a chance here.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So yeah. We'll see. Maybe we'll all be producers on that one.
Love it.
Yes.
All right, so it's that time of the show where we're going to turn it over to our very special guest, and he is going to let us know where you can contact him and where you can find out what he is up to in the wide, wide world. So, Max, take it away. What are you up to these days?
Yes, thank you very much. I am I'm kicking it around at IGN.com and MTV News, and I frequently talk about Star Wars because Star Wars is awesome. And you can find me at Twitter. I'm at Max_Nicholson. And maxnicholson.net is my website, and yeah, I think that's all the plugs. Oh, and if you're into cartoons, which yeah. I assume you are if you're listening,
yes,
I am currently doing flashback reviews of Avatar the Last Airbender.
Yes.
Just we're kind of filling in some gaps at the old IGN, and I'm freaking loving that series. That show is awesome. Another show you should check out if you haven't already, and I'm doing reviews of that right now over the summer.
Yeah, very cool, man. I've definitely checked in on a couple of those reviews just to kind of relive the episodes again, because it's been a while since I watched the original one, and then I just caught up with Korra fairly recently. So yeah,
they're both
so I'm glad you're
such great series, such great
yeah,
series.
Definitely,
excellent.
We'll have to review that at someday. So yeah, thanks again for being on the show there, Max.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Sean, what do you have going on for listeners out there?
Ooh, well, if you are in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, September 9th through the 12th, I am producing a comedy festival that's going to be in D.C. It's called District Improv Festival. And so this is going to be 30 different improv teams from all across the country, as well as also Canada. So you can find and purchase tickets at districtimprov.org. And I don't know, every once in a while, you can find me if you go on witdc.org, Washington Improv Theater. I perform with them quite a bit, so you can find me performing around there. And also, you can find me on the Instagrams and the Twitters at Sean Paul Ellis.
Awesome. And hey, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you actually have a shout out for somebody tonight. So now is probably a good time to do that before I start rambling.
Oh, I do. Excellent. Thank you so much. Sure. We actually were contacted by a listener. And a friend of mine, Letty, who had mentioned that she had some fantastic insight from listening or after listening to our Godzilla episode, we are going to get a little bit more into that. I haven't figured out whether I want to do it at the end of an episode or if I want to do a little mini episode myself, but it is wonderful insight and it cracked me up to no end. So thank you, Letty, for reaching out and messaging us. And we will definitely get into that discussion shortly. So thank you.
It was pretty great. It might be the most academic this show has ever gotten. So I do appreciate
Holy
that.
Holy shit. It was
That's quite nice.
Fantastic.
As for me, you can find me over at Collider.com. We got the fall TV season coming up, so I'll be doing a lot of recaps for that. But in the meantime, we've got a lot of movie news, TV news, entertainment news. So check me out over at Collider.com. As for finding out more about Saturday Morning Cartoons, you can do so at our website, SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. Remember, that's morning with a U. You can also find us on Twitter, at MorningToons. Check out Sean's handiwork over at our Tumblr page, SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. We are on Facebook. We are on YouTube. Each and every week, you can download our podcast through iTunes and Stitcher. And you can always send us an email to give us some suggestions, let us know how we're doing. Just say hi, give us a linguistic rundown of the differences between a Godzilla creature versus a Godzuki creature. Whatever you want to do. SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com. That's pretty much it for me. Sean, do you want to give the listeners a rundown, maybe a little sneak peek of what we have coming up? Now we've got our act together a little bit, and we can give them a little hint of what's coming up later on this year.
So I believe next episode we are going to be digging into a superhero, but a superhero who has some interesting quirks.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch, you know, but we'll see how it works out.
That's a little bit of a stretch. I mean, Max, you know who I'm talking about.
Max, if you were to wear multicolored socks, that's really all I know this character from, right?
Oh my god.
The multicolored socks and like a weird cloud outfit.
This is like ringing zero bells. At first, when you first started saying quirky, I thought you guys were talking about Freakazoid for a second.
No, we've already covered Freakazoid.
Okay.
And his onesie. Well,
if we were to say that it was an absurdist spoof on the whole superhero genre, does that help?
Oh,
I don't think that would help anymore.
Are you guys
Patrick Warburton played?
The Tick.
Yes,
classic. Love that show.
Oh, that is not who I thought we were going to
be
talking about.
Digging into the Tick.
I was confused again. I am forever confused on this show. All good. We're talking the Tick.
you were thinking we're talking the Tick, and then after that, Dave is correct. I think we're jumping into Rainbow Bright.
Yeah. So when you started talking about a superhero, I was like, is Rainbow Bright really a superhero? I mean, I guess she kind of could be.
Yeah, I was confused.
It happens a lot. So we've got Tick and Rainbow Bright to look forward to, and that should take us into September, and then we'll start getting into some theme months. We'll tease you guys about that in a little bit. So yeah, listeners, should be a couple of great shows. We got Tick and Rainbow Bright coming out before we roll into the fall of this year. So that should be a good time. Just wanted to say thanks to Max again. Thank you so much for coming out and spending your time with us. It was great to have you on. Hopefully we can have you on again in the future. And to our listeners out there, thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time on Saturday Morning Cartoons. Bye.